KVOE 1400 AM and 96.9 FM, live and local, present the On Air Chat. Now, here are your hosts, Steve Souder and Aaron Harter.
Good morning. Welcome to the On Air Chat. Steve Souder, Aaron Harter in studio. We are brought to you by CB Financial. Craig Barnwell feels the income is the outcome that matters. Call 620-208-6777 for a free consultation. And Bruce Davis Construction for commercial dirt work, demolition, dirt hauling, and more. Call Bruce Davis Construction, 342-5001. Good morning, Steve.
Aaron, good morning. How are you?
Well, I think I'm doing just fine. Breaking news, Aaron Rodgers out with COVID for Sunday's game against the Chiefs.
You verified that?
I verified it.
That's an interesting development for Packerland, as Jordan Love, the subject of most of Aaron Rodgers' discontent, will
get the start.
The past
couple of years, yep.
Yeah. So that's interesting. Well, I thought you were going to ask me about the weather. This is a great time of the year. I'm in my Bill Cinelli uniform wearing shorts because I've been to the hospital to do my cardio rehab, and it's not comfortable in jeans or slacks.
So. I bet not.
So anyway, we got through it. We got an interesting program today.
We do.
As this is from ESU, of course. It's the Foundation Spotlight on Philanthropy, and what they've provided us today. It's Veterans Day week, or we're getting ready for that. So this is very apropos. And the topic today is the Student Veterans Center and the Veterans Celebration on the campus. And we have a handful of guests kind of testing Scott's ability in there to get everybody on the telephone.
On the air at the same time, yep.
So let me read the opening paragraph, or it's a couple paragraphs, but give you an idea of what and where we're talking about when we talk about the Student Veterans Center. It says, ESU strives to assist military members, veterans, and their dependents in utilizing their education benefit. Thanks to our generous donors, ESU has created a new space to serve military veterans by creating a Student Veterans Center on the fourth floor of Morris South. The center provides veteran students with a space to study and learn about, with connecting and assisting other student veterans, and it overlooks the beautiful Lake Worcester. The center serves discharged and retired veterans, active duty military, members of the National Guard and Reserves, spouses and dependents of military and veterans, Gold Star family members, community veterans, organizations and stakeholders, and prospective student veterans visiting the campus. This space enhances the level of veteran support at ESU and provides a programmable space for veteran activities. So I was not aware of this and haven't been to see it, but if it's like everything else they're doing at the university, I'll bet it's first class.
I'll bet it is too. We'll find out more here.
Okay, I'm gonna introduce our guests and we'll just do a hello. Houston Clearwater is with us, and Houston is from Osawatomie, recently graduated from Emporia State.
No, he's a senior in poli sci.
Okay, that was what got corrected, and I didn't. I got it written out here. But
yep.
Cliff Notes. Doing very well, okay. What he is, though, is president of the Student Veterans Organization. Is that accurate, Houston?
Yes, it is. I'm currently the president of the Student Veterans Association on campus.
Okay, great. Well, we will get back to you. Good to have you with us this morning.
Thank
Next
you.
Is Thomas Torres. Tom is a
psychology and sociology double major.
Yeah, psychology and sociology double major. He's a member of the U.S. Marine Corps and has been involved in almost every aspect of Sigma Tau Gamma and campus life at Emporia State. And we'll get his take on this. Good morning, Thomas.
Good morning.
Good to have you with us.
It's a pleasure being here.
Okay, and then Bill McKernan, who doesn't need all that much introduction. Bill is director of facilities at Emporia State. Bill, you're a veteran too, aren't you? Are you what they call a lifer?
That's correct. I did retire, Steve.
And so you're in charge of the construction in that part of this center?
Yes, sir. That was part of our job here, getting that done. We actually contracted, did a lot of the work with Mitchell Markowitz, did a preponderance of the labor in this effort.
Okay, we'll get back to you. But thanks for being with us. And Tiffany Wilson, who's making a repeat appearance here, you were just with us, what, about 4 weeks ago, Tiffany?
Just a couple weeks ago, yes.
Yeah, why didn't you tell us then, hey, I'm going to quit being the homecoming specialist or whatever it was you were, and becoming the director of the Alumni Association? That's quite a promotion. Congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay, so we'll get back to Tiffany and then Jill Burton, and she's a newcomer. So tell us, Jill, what your position is at the foundation.
I am the associate director for special projects. That's my title. It's vague enough to keep me a little bit on my toes, I think.
Yeah, they got a lot more than that written down here, but and of course you're a native of Chase County, right?
Well, I live in Chase County now. I've been in Chase County for about 20 years.
And work for Camp Wood, so a lot of our listeners may have dealt with you as they help support Camp Wood.
That's right.
So, all right, great. Well, let's go back to the top of the list, to Houston Clearwater. And Houston, tell us a little bit about yourself. I mean, I've got here that you're from Osawatomie. We want to know that, where you've gone to school. Are you still involved with the reserves? Just tell us about, you know, bring us up to date, what you've done and where you are now.
Sure. So I was born and raised in Osawatomie, Kansas. I was there until I was 18, and then I joined the Army at 18 in 2013. That's when I graduated as well from high school. Joined the Army. Did about a year in basic training in AIT, which is just, you know, job training. I did that all down in Georgia. Then I did a year in Korea, and then I did 2 years in Arizona, and then I ended up here in Emporia. My girlfriend was going to Emporia State, and she's now graduated and a teacher. And I thought, well, you know, Emporia State looks pretty good. I'd been here before, you know. When I was in Osawatomie, we traveled down here a couple times, and I was like, well, I like Emporia. It's a pretty good community. So I thought it sounded like a pretty good college to go to.
So you put your GI Bill to work?
Exactly, yep. Put my GI Bill to work. Once I got out of the Army, that was it for me. I did my 4 years, and I was pretty much done with being in the Army at that point. Not that I didn't enjoy my time, but it was just time for me to move on to going to college.
And what were you in the Army?
I was a 25 November, which is a fancy way to say that I worked on servers out of the back of a Humvee.
Okay. And you're a senior in political science. Is that accurate?
Yes, sir. I am senior in political science at Emporia State. I've got one more semester to go.
I can tell you what, I got the $64 question for you. In these times, what the hell do they teach you in political science? I mean, what do they think? What's that?
Quite a bit. It's a lot. You know, it's not as much about politics as you might think, which is kind of strange for a political science degree.
Okay, well, let's switch gears and talk about Student Veterans Association. How long have you been the president, and what's your background there?
So I joined the Student Veterans Association in 2017 when I first got here. I was lucky enough to meet Mike White, the current president, or the president at the time, and he got me involved with a lot of the stuff that the association was doing. From there, I kind of just hung out and volunteered as much as I could, did what I can with my time, and then it basically came up to my time to be president of the organization, so I took it up, and I've been trying to do my best to help keep the organization stable while COVID was happening. That, of course, you know, kind of put a downer on a lot of our programs.
All right. So how many members do you have? Do you have a count on that?
Currently, I don't really have a great count on how many members we have. Just due to COVID and people moving around and shuffling around, we're kind of in a rebuilding phase right now. And so it's a little hard to kind of get numbers knocked down.
But you've been involved with the Student Veteran Center since the very beginning. How did the project start?
Sure. So in 2017, fall of 2017, myself and Mike White were sitting in the old veterans area, which is a little more than a closet kind of type space. It wasn't very big at all. And at the time, we had about 25 members. And fitting all of them in there was about impossible, really, for a meeting space. So we decided, we were like, well, we need a bigger space. We need to figure out how to get that done. So in the spring of 2018, we were talking about it a little more. We're like, well, we need to really organize and get this together. So that summer of 2018, myself and Mike White went out and kind of found the feasibility of the project, talked with a few people, tried to see where we needed to go. And we ended up going to a consortium of student veterans organizations at KU. And when we were there, we met one of the very large donors to this new space and talked with him about the feasibility of the project. He liked the idea, was on board. And after that had happened, we decided we thought the next best move was to talk to the foundation, of course. And from there, really, it kind of was out of our hands. I mean, once it hits that point in the project, there's not much else we can do except for advocate what we want and what we need and try and figure out how to get that best done.
So, Bill, when...
So that all happened around 2019.
That's great. So Bill, I assume shortly thereafter it comes into your hands. Talk to us about the space and the design. And
right. So once we were contacted by the foundation, Tyler Curtis reached out to us. We had Tim Clark, our campus master planner. He's an architect. He drafted up some designs for the space that we identified in Moore South. From there, we had a big meeting, with Mike and Tom and the student veterans with the donors, kind of said, hey, here's what we're thinking. Everybody was on board as an excellent design. And from there, we bid it out to Mitchell Markowitz to do the work. And, kind of the rest is history. It kind of turned out a great space in there.
All right. And are you the one what are the hours at the... Can you answer that, Bill?
Sure. So basically the space is open whenever the building is open during the business day. We've got a card access on the space, so it's kind of limited to the veterans and the people that are able to use it. So it's open 5 days a week. I think that building's open roughly about 7 a.m. to 10 p.m., so it's open for most of the day.
And it's being utilized, I take it?
It sure is. I've been in there a handful of times. I can tell it's getting used. Houston or Tom could probably better answer that question, but we'll let them talk about it.
So what's the answer to that question, Houston? How's the center being utilized?
I'd say it's being utilized pretty often. I know that I'm in there quite a bit, all the time, doing homework, working on things, writing papers, stuff that poli-sci students do. A lot of times, I'll go in there and there's other veterans in there, and that's exactly what I wanted to see out of the space. It's a meeting place for other veterans. We can take care of each other. We can help each other with homework, and that's exactly how it gets utilized, and it's great to see.
All right, let's bring Thomas Torres into the discussion, and I'm reading a pretty long bio on you, and I already mentioned you're a member of the Sig Taus, and you've done about everything you can do in a fraternity, including being two-term IFC. That's Interfraternity Council, right?
It is, correct.
It is. And then up here at the top, it says you're a member of the U.S. Marine Corps. Are you a reserve, or how does that work?
Well, once a Marine, always a Marine. I read that part of the bio. I was like, oh, I'm going to leave it. But I finished my contract up, and I'm done with my contract now, so... I'm good there. I'm out of the Marine Corps.
So it should have been you were in the U.S. Marines.
Correct.
What grade are you, and where are you from, Tom?
I'm a senior. When I got out of the Marine Corps, I was a corporal, but as I was in the active reserve, they gave me the sergeant promotion. I'm from Emporia, Kansas. Grew up here. When I got done with everything here, then I took a year of college. I was at the tech college too. Finished a technical certificate there, but ended up going to the Marine Corps and trying that out, seeing if that was something I wanted to do for life or just for one contract. So, yeah, did military police while I was in there. Got to work in San Diego with local law enforcement and get us some training with them. So that was pretty awesome. And decided to come back home and lay some roots for the family. So.
Well, and you're the vice president of the Student Veterans Association. What do you guys have an agenda? Do you have a do you do events, or are you just pretty much open as a place to gather and, like you said, do homework and meet other veterans?
Like you were saying, we have had some setbacks, I guess you could say, with COVID. Those are really opening up for us now. We do host events. We had a pretty good set of like events we would always do prior to everything shutting down. But now we're kind of getting back into the swing of things. And our focus right now is growing our membership, but also hosting events for those guys that we do have and getting to know them and be around with them. And that's the big thing, too, with the space that we want to utilize it for is not just having it there for our veterans and for us to utilize and study. And like Huey said, it's always a good place to come back and hang out and do homework, but you also, like, it's like going back to the barracks. You always see the guys, and you want to talk to the guys and gals and have a good time there in that space. But we can definitely be utilizing that space for programming. We plan on it to use it for community events and having speakers come in and talk to our group and everything like that. Definitely a lot better space than what we had before. We went from having a small little, like, window to basically a whole wall. It's just opened up overlooking Worcester. Really nice space to utilize and bring people into rather than bringing them into that small space we had before. So I think there's a lot of potential for what we can do with that room and that space, and we're definitely going to be utilizing it. We've already utilized it a couple times. We had some people from Crosswinds come and share some resources with us and meet with us there and see our space and talk to us. So there's a lot of potential with it.
we know the space is in more south. Where's the exact location, and what did it used to be? Was it part of the old dorm?
Bill may be a better answer for that one.
Yeah, that's correct. All of the Morris Halls were dorm rooms at one point, so we combined two of the dorm rooms to increase the size of the space. But I think Houston, and you've mentioned it, bringing those windows down, in most dorm rooms, the windows are up high and you can't see out unless you're standing up. But, Tim had the idea of, cutting that wall completely out down to about a foot from the floor and being able to sit in a chair while you're studying or reading and look up and look out and see Worcester Lakes. Was a fabulous idea.
So is it on the ground level?
No, it's up on the fourth floor.
Okay. What kind of items are in there that make it special for all the veteran students?
So we basically totally redid that room. We put in new HVAC, obviously new lights and carpet. There's a built-in desk in there, workstation for computer. They've got access to, obviously, the computer and the printer in there to do work. Got a TV in there that the students can connect to either watch a video or do some collaboration on a project or what have you, some tables and chairs to study or host a meeting, and then just some lounge furniture in there as well. One of the other featured areas is a kind of a patch wall on one of the columns. We put Velcro on it so veterans can bring in a patch from their unit that they were with and stick it on that column, and then we also got some parade flags from all the services in that space as well. So each military service is represented in there.
All right, we need to take a break. Before we go, I'll tell you the question that I have. This comes off our chief sheet. Problem is, it says to assist of Sarah, and we don't have a Sarah on here.
I think we can ask it to Tiff.
Well, we'll ask it for somebody. And, yeah, Tiffany might be whoever wants, but tell us about the student veteran at ESU. How many there are? What do you think? And what was the rest of the question, Aaron?
What ways that the university assists student veterans, whether they're current or prospective? It'll be an answer that probably all of them can contribute to when we come back.
We'll take a break, and somebody put their hand up, and they can get the opportunity to answer those questions. How many student veterans are there, and what specifically can the university or is the university doing for them? You're listening to KVOE. We're talking about Spotlight on Philanthropy and specifically the Student Veterans Center on the campus of Emporia State. And eventually we'll get around talking about the Veterans Celebration coming up. So this is KVOE, and we're live and local.
Income is the outcome that matters most in retirement. I'm Craig Barnwell with CB Financial, and I've been in retirement and wealth planning for over 25 years. If I doubled your portfolio, that might not change your lifestyle. You'd still be you. However, if I doubled your income, that could make a significant impact on your retirement. So whether you're retired or you want to see how soon that can happen, give us a call to set up a free, no-obligation visit. You can reach us at 620-208-6777. That's 620-208-6777. Retire happy. Retire with CB Financial.
Construction jobs don't go away when the weather gets colder. Bruce Davis Construction is available all winter long. When you need commercial dirt work, from demolition to prepare for a building site or parking lot, to dirt work and hauling, Bruce Davis will give you a quality job. Bruce Davis Construction, proud to be involved in recent construction jobs including the addition at Emporia High School, Emporia Travel Plaza, Glendo, and the David Trailer Zoo. Call Bruce Davis Construction at 620-342-5001.
The Monday Morning Quarterback, sports of all sorts. Mondays at 10:05 a.m. on KVOE, live and local.
Keeping you in touch, KVOE 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local. It is time now for a check of local headlines being brought to you by Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue. Still offering convenient carryout and curbside services. Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue, 607 Merchant, where it's all about the meat. Now from the 24-hour KVOE newsroom, here is Chuck Samples.
Thanks, Scott. Good morning, everybody. New faces will be on the USD 253 Emporia School Board after last night's election. Jamie Reaver, Lillian Lingenfelter, Jennifer Thomas with the most votes in the field, which means that longtime incumbent Mike Crouch finishes off the board after finishing fourth. Meanwhile, for the Emporia City Commission, your top vote-getters are Danny Giefer, Susan Brinkman, and Jamie Souter. More information is online at KVOE.com. Emporia City Commissioners busy with an action session coming up this afternoon. Lyon County Commissioners have transportation matters as the lead items for their action session tomorrow morning. And this is the traditional time for vehicle-deer collisions across the KVOE listening area, and it's been active for wrecks just over the last 2 to 3 weeks. KVOE forecast from the TV 13 weather team. Turning sunny today with temperatures in the upper 40s. We'll see a partly cloudy tonight with a low in the mid-30s. Tomorrow, sunny mid-50s for highs, and more of the same Friday as we top out close to 60. From the 24-hour KVOE newsroom, I'm Chuck Samples.
Thank you, Chuck. A light and variable wind, a cloudy sky, 43 degrees at KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM. All the information you need, live and local. Headlines of service of Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue, still offering convenient carryout and curbside services. Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue, 607 Merchant, where it's all about the meat. KVOE, live and local. Now back to the on-air chat.
All right, welcome back to the On Air Chat. Steve and Aaron holding down the fort today, and we're talking to people from the university about the new Veterans Center. And specifically, we're talking to Houston Clearwater, who's president of the Student Veterans Association, Tom Torres, who's vice president of that association, Bill McKernan, who's director of facilities at Emporia State, had a lot to do with putting the facility together, and he's a lifetime Army guy, so he's a veteran as well, so I'm sure he can utilize this. And Tiffany Wilson, who was recently named Director of Alumni Relations at the university, and Jill Burton, who's the newest member of the Development Office at ESU Foundation. And we'll get to Jill eventually. Tiffany, I'm going to give you the first shot at that. Do you have any idea how many veterans? I guess two questions. How many on campus and how many in the alumni, the 66,000 or so alumni that the Emporia State has?
Yes. I'm going to push this question over to Jill for part of it, but as far as our alumni base, any veterans' status is self-reported, and so we currently have about 1,600 reported in our database of alumni veterans. But as far as the rest of that question, I'm going to turn it over to Jill.
Yeah, I was visiting with Sarah Johnson a few weeks ago, who is our staff advisor for the Student Veteran Association, and she said pretty much the same thing Tiffany just said, that our student veterans have to self-identify. So we probably have more than we realize on campus. And, you know, to really encourage them to reach out to Houston or Thomas and to get connected with the Student Veterans Center. So I don't have an exact number, and I don't know that the university either has an exact number on that. But I think, and of course Houston and Thomas could interject here, but I think the one way that that the Student Veterans Center helps is kind of with that transition from military life to civilian life, maybe being a point person to help with enrollment and just that transition period.
But in order to get access to the space, they have to obviously report that they're a veteran to the Alumni Association, or?
I don't believe it's to the – I know it's not to the Alumni Association. I think it's the university itself, and – they could probably do that in Houston. You might be better to answer that question.
Yeah, Houston, that's right up your alley, isn't it? How do they get involved in the student in the Veterans Center?
So to be involved with the Student Veterans Center, it doesn't take a membership within the SVA or any other association. The only thing it takes is reporting that, you know, you want access to the space as a veteran or, you know, associated person, such as the one you described in the start of this, where, you know, all of the people, Gold Star family members, active duty, any of those associated people, they can get access to the space without being a member of the Student Veterans Association. And that's reported to, I think, IT to get access to the space.
How do you guys, I mean, obviously you came on campus and had reported that you were a vet and got involved with the association, you and Thomas both. How is that just how all the kids do it, or do you guys can you tell that there's a veteran walking around and you reach out to them and tell them to join, or is that just more campus responsibility, letting people know that the space is there if you need it?
So that's kind of a twofold kind of deal. For me, I don't think I ever self-reported. Maybe I did or maybe I didn't. I can't really remember. It is fairly easy to tell when somebody is a veteran walking around. I don't know how exactly to describe that, but we're pretty easy to spot most of the time. One veteran can spot another veteran from afar, and essentially that's what had happened to me. Is previous president Mike White had saw me and started talking to me, said, hey, you know, there's this organization on campus, you're going to campus, right? And I was like, yeah, I go to school there. He goes, you should get involved, do things for veterans. And so that's how we currently still do things. It's a lot of, you know, word of mouth type of deal, meeting with people personally, getting them involved, and seeing what that level of involvement would be. I would like to have hard figures if that was possible. It's something we've really been trying to work on getting, but it's really difficult because it seems like we run into people that it's either a thing of self-reporting or people aren't able to get the numbers.
So you have somewhat of an outreach program?
Yeah, and that's just a personal thing we do as the Student Veterans Association. I mean, the number one thing for us is making sure that we can, you know, provide as many resources to veterans on campus as possible.
Well, Cam,
the adult currently the only way we could do that is going out and actually talking to people, of course.
Well, of course, and on campus is one challenge, which it sounds like it's disappointing that the university can't give you more help, but there may be, you know, some of those rules. But what about off campus? Because this thing is available to reserves, National Guard, dependents of veterans, Gold Star families, you mentioned that, community veteran organizations, stakeholders. So I assume that American Legion, the VFW, those are pretty easy ones to make sure that they know this space is available.
Correct. And we've worked with both of those organizations, the American Legion and the VFW, before. In fact, the previous president, Mike White, he was actually the commander out at the VFW for quite a while. I try to keep a close contact, at least with both of those organizations. If they have anything going on, I'll promote it. And if we have anything on, I'll push it out to them and let them know. If they need any access, I'm not exactly sure how we go about setting that up, but I don't think it's an issue at all having it be available to them.
Tiffany, what about alums? I know this is a fairly new thing, but for example, I just got my spotlight, which comes out a couple times a year, and it had a big spread on the Prophet Wildlife Center, but I didn't see anything in there about the Veterans Center. Maybe you need to do some outreach that way.
Yes, I do think that is a plan for future editions of the Spotlight. Since the dedication of the space isn't happening until this Saturday, we haven't done a whole lot of publicity on it yet, but you will begin to hear more about it for sure.
Well, and that brings up the weekend. And because Saturday at the football game is Veterans Appreciation. What else is planned for Veterans Day week concerning the student organization and the campus?
Yes. So from an alumni standpoint, in years past, we've done two separate events on that Saturday before Veterans Day. We do our flag celebration that celebrates just the patriotism that we show here on campus and use it in conjunction with the large flag that's hung outside of Plum Hall. And then we have our Veterans Appreciation Luncheon here at the Sauter Alumni Center. Due to COVID restrictions that are still in place, unfortunately, we can't have that luncheon this year. And so we are combining the two events and doing a veteran celebration outside of Plum Hall. And so that will be Saturday morning beginning around 10 a.m. And we will recognize our veterans. We have a special guest speaker. One of our alums, who is a retired Army colonel, is coming in from Hawaii to speak, and then that will roll into the student veteran dedication directly following that ceremony.
Okay, so dedication of the space, is that? Did I understand that?
Yes, that will be directly following the veterans celebration, so probably about 11 o'clock on Saturday.
Okay, we'll mention that before we get off again, but that's an opportunity to be involved, and hopefully veterans that are hearing about this for the first time, be a great opportunity to come up and celebrate Veterans Day that way. That's about the same time as the parade, isn't it? Are you guys not participating in the parade?
I'm not sure when the parade is.
The Emporia Parade?
Yeah, because Ron.
The Emporia Parade's on the 11th.
Oh, okay. Excuse me, because I thought I understood Ron to say that he was emceeing. I guess it was emceeing something, and maybe that is the 11th. I thought it was Saturday, and I thought he's going to have to hustle to do that, and then go do the PA.
No, the parade is next Thursday, the 11th.
So your deal on campus is Saturday, and the parade is on the 11th. Hopefully, the VFW is running that. So if you guys want to put together a float or a truck or something, that'd be a good way to publicize this this new facility.
Yeah.
So, all right, we need to get another break in, and we come back, we'll put Jill front and center and talk a little bit about the foundation, the ongoing drive, and what the opportunities are for veterans to what would happen if they wanted to donate and have it go to the Student Veterans Association. You might give us some idea how that might work. This is KVOE. We are live and we are local.
Construction jobs don't go away when the weather gets colder. Bruce Davis Construction is available all winter long. When you need commercial dirt work, from demolition to prepare for a building site or parking lot, to dirt work and hauling, Bruce Davis will give you a quality job. Bruce Davis Construction, proud to be involved in recent construction jobs including the addition at Emporia High School, Emporia Travel Plaza, Glendale, and the David Trailer Zoo. Call Bruce Davis Construction at 620-342-5001.
Hi, Craig Barnwell with CB Financial. I've been in retirement and wealth planning for over 25 years. I can help you get the most sustainable income out of your Social Security, your 401ks, your IRAs, and your brokerage account. When you know what's coming in this month, next month, and every month, you'll be able to enjoy retirement to the fullest. Give me a call to set up a free, no-obligation visit. Retire happy, retire with CB Financial. You can reach us at 620-208-6777.
Run, ride, release, recognize. Be a part of Freedom Fest, Saturday, November 6th at Emporia's All Veterans Memorial. For details and to register, log on to EmporiaFreedomFest.org. KVOE, 96.9 FM and 1400 AM, live and local.
KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local. It is time now for sports headlines being brought to you by Thurston's Plus Auto Body and Automotive. Call 342-2613 when your car needs help. You don't have to go where anyone tells you to. Go where you want. Now with KVOE Sports Headlines, here is Greg Ray.
Thank you, Scott, and good morning. The Emporia State men's basketball team returning to Allen Fieldhouse to take on the Kansas Jayhawks tonight. It's the only exhibition game for both Emporia State and Kansas this season. The Jayhawks ranked third in the nation, picked to win the Big 12. Tip-off is set for 7 o'clock. You can hear the game on Mix 104.9, also on KVOE 1400 AM, 96.9 FM. Kansas will be playing without Jalen Wilson. He's been suspended for 4 games after his arrest on suspicion of DUI early Sunday morning. He'll also miss next Tuesday's game against Michigan State and games against Tarleton State and Stony Brook. He'll also be serving some community service. For the third time this season, Emporia State's Mackenzie DeMarco has been named the MIAA Women's Soccer Offensive Player of the Week. She scored 2 goals and had an assist in Sunday's win in Nebraska-Kearney, finishing the regular season leading the MIAA with 18 made goals, tying a school record. Emporia State opens up MIAA tournament play Sunday when they host Northeastern State. Kansas City Chiefs made 2 trades yesterday before the trade deadline, acquiring defensive end Melvin Ingram from the Pittsburgh Steelers for a 6th-round draft pick. They also added tight end Daniel Brown from the New York Jets in exchange for guard Laurent Duvernay-Tardif. And the Atlanta Braves wrapped up the World Series with a 7-0 win over the Houston Astros to win Game 6, winning the series 4-2. Jorge Soler, the former Kansas City Royal, was named the MVP. That's a look at sports. I'm Greg Ray, KVOE, live and local.
Thank you, Greg. Sports headlines, a service of Thurston's Plus Auto Body and Automotive. 708 Lantern Lane. Information available in the Yellow Book and on the web at thurstonsplusautobody.com. KVOE 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local. Now back to the on-air chat.
All right, welcome back, Steve and Aaron. Scott's on the board, doing a great job, as we have a handful of guests this morning. And we will give you guys each an opportunity to share something that we haven't asked about after we go through a couple of things here. And the first one is, we'll talk with Jill Burton, who's a new development officer at ESU. And can you elaborate on how ESU assists veterans? What are just the basic, I mean, if you run into somebody and they've got a veteran or it is a veteran, what can you tell them the university will provide?
Well, I think that kind of is a two-part question, right? So the university, aside from the great space that we've been talking about all morning, you know, they can help student veterans with enrollment and kind of navigating the GI Bill and coming onto campus, help them transition into civilian life. And then us here at the foundation, you know, we can help in a number of ways. People who want to make an impact on our student veterans, or our student veteran center can do that through the foundation. You know, and every gift given is counted towards our Together Forward campaign. And so it could be dedicated to the Student Veterans Center or maybe scholarships or programming for the Student Veterans Center. So it would kind of, you know, give towards the Together Forward campaign and, of course, our student veterans here on campus.
Have you been around long enough to ascertain, are everybody that wants to donate to something like this pretty much veterans, or are there people like me that didn't serve that you might be attracted to this?
We ran the gamut. You know, we had donors from Hawaii and Minnesota and Maryland, and then right here locally. Some were veterans, some were not. You know, maybe some were connected to a veteran in some way, and some, you know, Emporia is the home of Veterans Day, right? And so some just understood the importance of supporting those who serve our country.
Steve. Houston, you'd mentioned when you went up to KU that you met one of the large donors here. Is he or she a veteran? Houston, still with us? Thomas, still with us?
We knew Thomas hung up. Houston, did you hang up? They may have had to go to class.
Somebody's calling in. It's okay. And Tiff or Jill might know too. Houston had mentioned that there was a large donor that they'd met at KU to the Student Veterans Center. Do you know if that person is a vet?
You know, I don't know who that donor was through K State, so I can't answer that question.
Hey, Steve, Aaron, this is Bill. I can answer that. It was a foundation. It's the David Kemper Woods Veterans Foundation. He was a military veteran, was killed in action in World War II in Italy. And they run a foundation up there that supports veterans and activities in Kansas and Missouri. And they were obviously the lead donor on this, along with the other donors that Jill and Tiffany were talking about. So that is who they bumped into, one of the representatives for that foundation at KU.
Okay. Tiffany, we'll give you a chance to talk a little bit about the Alumni Association. You're, a little bit as how it pertains to veterans, but what's the biggest activity going on with the ESU Alumni Association right now?
Right now is just tying up the end of our semester with the Veterans Celebration on Saturday, and then looking towards graduation in December. That's our last two for this semester, and then getting to start fresh in January and, you know, several of us in new roles and new opportunities and looking at ways that we can grow our alumni base and search for that engagement and getting people connected back with Emporia State.
Okay. And did you know that you were going to be appointed when you were here 2 weeks ago or whenever?
I did not. I was not aware at that point in time.
Because we were going to be pretty disappointed you didn't break the news here. Okay, let's go around the table and what haven't we said? What's any of your thoughts? Bill, we'll start with you. What have we left out?
So one of the other things that ESU does do for military veterans is they credit up to 30 hours of classroom or classes equivalency based on what your military occupation was and how long you served. So there is a potential to get, you know, a year of school credited here at ESU. So I think that's a pretty good benefit that they offer to the veterans. But other than that, I think we've pretty much covered everything. Steve, appreciate your time putting us on the radio.
Thomas, what haven't we asked?
As far as I think guys were talking about when I got disconnected, but if somebody's listening in and they want to do anything like programming-wise with the student veterans or their students on campus right now that want to get involved with us, definitely feel free to reach out. The Center for Student Involvement has our contact information for us, but we're not hard to find either. So, yeah, I mean, we're here for veterans. We're trying to give them the resources and help them with their transition and everything on campus. So anything we can do to help, we will do that. And we appreciate you having us, just like Bill said.
Okay, Houston, one thing I want you to go over, what is planned Saturday, and does that include the football game?
So for Saturday, we're going to start it off with the flag ceremony. Of course, then I think that moves on to the dedication of the space. And then I believe there was a planned luncheon, but I don't think that's in the cards anymore. And then the football game is usually how that event usually goes. And I will be there for the flag ceremony and the dedication, but unfortunately I won't be able to make it to the football game.
Well, you know, I got an idea for you because I know yesterday at Hornet Talk, it was verified all veterans get in free to the football game, so might be good to have some people there that are reaching out, maybe with some information about the Veterans Association or the room or whatever. So anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great idea.
Anything else you'd like to add?
Other than the similar things to what Thomas said, and thank you for your time.
Okay.
Real quick, Houston, do you guys have like a ESU Veterans Association Facebook group or an email or a phone number that people could get a hold of you?
Yes, we do. So if you want to reach out to us, it's a great way to reach out to us on Facebook. We have the Emporia, I know it's a long name, it's the Emporia State Students or Emporia State University Student Veterans Association, and you can look that up on Facebook. Long name, but that's our Facebook page, and you can always reach us there. I'm always on it. I can always reply to people, get them the right information from there.
Okay, well, Tiffany, you think of something we haven't covered?
I don't think so. I think we covered it, but yes, like you did mention, all veterans get in free to the football game. They just have to show their military ID at the ticket window, and then they get free admittance into the game. And then they will be recognized at halftime of that game as well.
Well, thanks for joining us, Tiff and Jill. We have a little recap of homecoming last week, or 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Foundation had an exciting announcement about the Together Forward campaign. Why don't you go ahead and recap that and tell us what's coming up next?
Yeah, so one of our big announcements for homecoming was that we surpassed our $50 million goal by homecoming. We've currently raised over $55 million and have not lost any steam. We've set a new goal to raise $75 million, and there are lots of opportunities for people near and far to impact all of our students here at ESU.
Tiffany had mentioned earlier the two big events coming up before getting ready for the spring semester, but is that Together Forward, a lot of that Together Forward money is already being utilized, correct?
It is being utilized through different scholarships. The Together Forward campaign focuses on three different pillars: our high impact learning, talent awards, and then unrestricted funds to help programs such as the Student Vet Center to get it off the ground and provide the extra funding it may need to provide those resources. So it is a fluid motion that we are utilizing those funds continually.
I think the formal announcement or the public announcement of the Together Forward Together was, what, 3 or 4 years ago, but I can assure you that drive started in the non-public way about an hour after the Now and Forever campaign was over.
That's right.
That's correct.
So that's the way it works. Well, this has been great. And we do want to reiterate that on campus on Saturday at 10 o'clock outside of Plum Hall, there will be a speaker. I assume that's where that flag raising that Houston talked about will take place. And there'll be a lot of student veterans present, and the public is welcome to that. And then that'll be followed by the dedication of the new Student Veterans Center on the fourth floor of Morris Hall. And that's all in walking distance. So it's going to be weather's going to be great. And if you're a veteran or you want to celebrate the veterans, you want to meet some student veterans, or if you're eligible to use that room and want to know more about it, that would be a great place to show up on Saturday morning. And then once again, if you're a veteran, you get in free to the football game. So that's pretty good coverage. We thank our guests. I won't go through their names again, but nice job and great effort. And I think it sounds to me like the ceiling's the limit. The ceiling is high. There's lots of things that can be added. So thank you all for joining us.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks to all of our guests for joining us on the Sutherland Studio Line. Sutherland's, they specialize in building packages from sheds to pole barns to houses, all designed to suit your needs. Get a free estimate on your project. This has been the On-Air Chat. We've been brought to you by Bruce Davis Construction. For commercial dirt work, demolition, dirt hauling, and more, call Bruce Davis Construction, 342-5001. And CB Financial. CB Financial. Retire happy. Retire with CB Financial. See Craig Barnwell at 517 East 6th Avenue. Next Wednesday, we're going to welcome in a few guests from Glendo. Is that correct, Steve?
That is correct. And if you don't know, or even if you think you know what Glendo does, we all know they sell an engraving product. But this story is fantastic. They were our guests at Rotary a week ago Tuesday and just knocked my socks off with the amount of business they're doing and who they're doing it with and the number of people they bring to town for training. It's a fabulous story, and I heard from Chris Carroll, who's the marketing manager, who's my contact out there, and I can't remember the other guy's name.
Josh Hamlin.
Yeah, Josh Hamlin from Americas, who's the sales manager. And they're doing great things, so it will be a really interesting program. Yeah, so I hope you'll join us.
And that's next week. This has been the On Air Chat on KVOE AM 1400 and 96.9 FM. We are live and local.
96.9 FM.